Well, hello and welcome to this session where we're going to be handling how to create healthy habits that stick. When I asked you what you wanted to learn, many of you said that you want to be healthier, you want to eat better, you want to meditate consistently, but that you find it takes such a massive effort that once your life gets busy or something gets complicated, that's the first thing to go. So let's talk a little bit about why this is, because it's important to understand what is motivating our behavior or our inability to stick to what it is we say that we want. It's not just you. Trust me. In the U.S. alone, health and wellness and fitness is a $10 billion a year industry, at least. Many of us are looking for this, but so much of the time, it's like a 7-day thing or a 30-day thing or a 21-day thing. And then real life happens. And what happens? Well, we go back to our old default habits, whatever they may be. So I'm going to go through a bunch of steps so that you can really get clear in your own mind about what you need to do. But before we do anything, the first step is I want you to contemplate. And all of this will be on the integration exercise. So just right now, just be here and pay attention to what I am saying. Let it sink in. So what does it mean to contemplate? It means to really think about, are you ready to change something? Are you in that position yet in your life or in your dissatisfaction with what's going on? Because a lot of times we know we need to make a change. It's the same thing with drinking or with drugs. You know you need to, but you're really not ready to either look at it honestly or to slow it down or whatever. So I want you to really think about how ready are you to make changes? Write down the things that you are not happy about, how you feel. Maybe you have lack of energy, right? So we're going to have a little list of what are the things that you're seeking that you're not having in your life that you think having healthy habits will give you. Then we're going to move into you taking an inventory. So that's always the second thing, because what are we doing in everything, right? The five pillars of transformation created by me, first pillar is always raising your awareness, right? How can we ever change that which we are unaware? We cannot. So when you get to the tipping point of frustration or anger and you really want to do this, but you don't, we really need to understand and take an inventory of what are you doing now? What are your default positions around health, right? So food, exercise, sleep, meditation or stillness and silence, breathing exercises, whatever, some kind of spiritual something or grounding practice. So there'll be little questions in your PDF where you'll be able to really get a clear, we want a snapshot of what is happening now because we all have habits. And you know, I know for myself, when we slip into bad habits, what does that look like? For me, it's snacking late at night. So when I'm not being mindful, when I'm really stressed out, I will find myself snacking late at night where I know it's counter to what I want to create in my life. It is not going to make me happy. I'm going to wake up the next day and feel bad. And now we have a cycle of negative feelings around. Negative feelings about ourselves a lot of times. Because also with setting these goals, these huge goals, you know, I'm going to do a triathlon. I'm going to do whatever it is. If you've been a couch potato, it's just obviously a total setup for failure because we're not going to do those things. And yet somehow when we're feeling so low or bad about something, it's almost like we feel like we must have this massive, huge effort to change things. And it's not as sexy or exciting doing things slowly but surely. But the truth is, this is how we build new habits, is slowly but surely. The next thing is we have to look at the macro view of our life. So this is why we don't want to do the 7-day, the 21-day, or the 30-day only. We want to start slow and be able to build into something. So when you look at the macro view, if you're starting to get in shape and you're in your 50s or your 60s, think about getting in shape with exercise that is aligned with where you are in your life cycle. As I'm aging, I'm doing more yoga and Pilates, things that are less banging on my body, even though I still love doing some of those things. But my knees don't love it as much as they used to. And so we need a macro view, taking into consideration all of those things. Next, here's the hardest part. Small, consistent steps is what actually equals sustainable transformation. And of course, this is what we're looking for. So it's the same thing with food. If you're looking to lose weight for an event, you probably should start a year before, depending on how much you need to lose, right? Or that you want to lose. My whole thing is not about weight, and I hope that for you, it's about health. I was diagnosed with cancer when I was in my early 30s twice. And before that, I was very much a worker outer for the way it would make my butt look. You know what I mean? I was very much about, in a way, the vanity of it, but I had also stopped drinking in my early 20s, and working out sort of became a bit of an addiction in itself, basically. It was like I was transferring the addiction to something I was like, well, at least it's healthy. But the truth is, before I was diagnosed with cancer, the way that I was working out, honestly, really wasn't healthy because I didn't really, really enjoy it. I was doing it because I was preoccupied with the shape of my body. But then when I got cancer and I really had to look at my own mortality and I really had to, I don't know, things get really real when you have a cancer diagnosis. I realized I needed to look at I needed to do a massive inventory about what was I doing in my life? What was I fueling my body with? That all of those things were impacting my health. And it was such a scary experience that I could have something that might shorten my lifespan, that I really woke up to green juicing and staying away from chemicals and not pouring chemical-laden crap on my skin and all these different things. And it wasn't that it was like a new religion or anything. It was a total pivot moment of really, it changed my view. Because what really came out of that experience for me of being diagnosed, so many things, of course, my whole entire life changed, obviously, but it was more that I suddenly really, really valued my life. And at that young age, I was in my early 30s, I had never thought that something could happen to me that would shorten my life. I don't know why. Of course it could. It could happen to anyone, but I was young. You know, an experience is the thing that teaches you, but it was such a sobering experience. And suddenly it was all about the quality of my life. Was my body healthy? What am I fueling it with? And I really, so many of my bad habits, because it was so scary, really went away, even though I had already stopped drinking and doing those types of things earlier in my life. But I really started looking at nutrition as a real thing, food as fuel and something that I love and enjoy as well. But you don't need to have that type of experience, and maybe you already have, but I certainly wouldn't wish it on you. My friend Chris Carr says, for her, because she's a cancer survivor, she said, you know, I wouldn't call it a gift because I wouldn't give it to you. But I wouldn't change it either because both of us, you know, this is what drives you to be where you are in your life. So, oh wow, that was a long way around the barn to get back to small, consistent steps. That is, and you're going to have to figure out what that is for you. So if you're not moving your body at all, the beginning may be committing to a 10-minute walk around the block 3 times a week. That may be what it is. And you know what? That's a start. And if you ever read these incredibly inspiring stories about people who are really unhealthy or severely obese or whatever their experience was, all of them started very, very small and moved into being liberated in their own body where they used to feel like it was a prison for them, you know? So you have to value and get into the nitty-gritty of the small steps because a bunch of small changes are the things that start to make it easier. A bunch of small changes. So you'll think about, and let's say you've been doing the same workout stuff and you're in a workout rut, then I'll ask you to add something new. Maybe you're in a life cycle or a life change in that, like me, you're not 25 anymore, and that maybe it would be good to add yoga, do a restorative practice every once in a while. So all of you will be at different points in your evolution. Wherever you are in the exact right spot to do this right now. You're in the exact right spot to do this right now. So don't talk yourself out of it. Don't make yourself wrong. Think of small things that you can do, because this is also the way that we're going to set us up to succeed. So the next thing is, how do you stay on track? What inspires you? And this may sound corny, but I really do believe that some kind of a reward system, like what keeps us motivated? So if I'm trying to do yoga 3 times a week, let's say, because I'm trying to do less of the hardcore stuff, less, what's that called? Like CrossFit and all those things that are just, I can't really, I mean, I can, but I don't want to, because I know that I'm heading towards injury by doing those things. I'm not in that place in my life. But if I make a goal, I say, I'm going to do yoga 3 times a week. Then I say, if you meet this goal, then after a month of meeting that goal, give yourself a gift of a massage, give yourself the gift of a pair of new yoga pants, give yourself the gift of whatever's within your budget and whatever is within your life. Allow yourself 2 hours on a Saturday to read a Pupa magazine. Have someone else take care of your kids, or so that you can have 2 hours. Rewarding ourselves, and also rewarding ourselves with healthy things, right? So we go back to the default position. So in the past, if rewarding yourself meant an ice cream sundae and what you want to be is healthier, maybe rewarding yourself is a vegan cookie or something that is less bad for you than all that processed sugar, right? So we got to stay on track, and I think self-reward is a really good way to do it. So the same way that in a 12-step program, the next point I have for you, when I used to run drug treatment groups back in the day, in the beginning of when I was a therapist, people would come in all the time and they would relapse on drugs that were not their drug of choice, drugs they had never done before. I don't know how it happened. They were like, I was on 38th and 8th, and suddenly I was buying crack and I smoked it, you know? And this is why in the program, we say, you have to plan not to relapse. So this is the same exact thing. When we want healthy habits, they're not just going to happen spontaneously, because what we've been doing is what's happening naturally, whether it's because we're responding to stress, whatever this is. And when you do the inventory, you're going to look at everything. You're going to look at, are you drinking a little too much? Are you smoking too much? Are you ingesting too much THC if you do recreational drugs, right? Are you eating too much? Are you eating to numb? Whatever the unhealthy thing is, and we need a plan. So one great idea is have little post-it notes for inspiration, right when you leave your door, like you can do it. Set yourself up to succeed. What does it look like in recovery when you set yourself up? Is you take people's phone numbers. So in our, you know, to call them, if you please meet me for a cup of coffee, I feel like picking up. Here, we have accountability partners. We have people who will be on our side, who will be on our team, and who will give us inspiration, who will let us know, right, that we're not alone. I always have someone at my gym, even though I live upstate, I have a friend at my gym who's like my gym friend, and that's someone who we text each other. She's like, okay, are you going to the 8 o'clock? I'll save you a spot, or I'll set up your whatever if I'm running late. But I know she's going to notice if I'm not there. And I like seeing her, and it's also social, but there's something about that, for me, that keeps me accountable to do what I say I'm going to do. And I like inspirational notes, and I also write on mirrors in my house and windows, anywhere, with dry erase markers. So you can write things in your bathroom mirror. You are beautiful. I love your shape. You are loved. You can do this. Keep going. Whatever it is. And again, some of these things may sound like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. Here's the thing. If what you're doing is not inspiring you to be consistent, what do you have to lose by trying something different? You have nothing to lose, right? So I say, do it. That's how you plan to succeed. We have accountability. We already did it. And the last thing I want to talk about is finding something that you love to do. Find the joy in moving your body, whatever that is. So if you can tie it in with being outside, if you live in that kind of an atmosphere where you can go outside and walk or be in nature, then let it be walking, let it be hiking. Again, let it be social. Meet up with people for a walk. Meet up with friends. Instead of always meeting for food, when I started really getting in shape years ago, I would have friends meet me and walk to work. It was like 4 miles, but it was a close friend. And I was like, all right, meet me on, I'll pick you up on 72nd. I lived on 96th Street in New York City. And I would walk down, pick her up, and then we'd walk all the way down to 15th Street, which is where we both worked at a talent agency at the time. But that was the beginning of me realizing, like, I could be social and move my body and be achieving my goal in a way that felt natural, that felt good to me. All of this forcing ourselves to do things that we don't like, that we don't want, where it feels like it's taking forever for the thing to happen, that I just can't do that. Like, I can't do like the treadmill anymore. Like, I used to be able to like force myself to do things. I don't want to, but I found Zumba. So that's something. I love to dance and I love to move. I used to be a cheerleader. It's like, there's something about, for me, doing Zumba, which if you don't know what it is basically a dance workout, but you don't have to be a dancer to do it, but it's a really great cardiovascular workout. The benefit for me of that, besides all the obvious benefits, is that I stay in the present moment. When I am doing Zumba, I have to be looking at the instructor's feet, following the steps. Naturally, if I think about something else, the past, the present, for a second, I'm off the beat. I can already see, like I'm already losing the step. So there's such a benefit for me because that's almost like when I'm meditating, right? So for me, it's a moving meditation to a degree, but more active and sort of not more fun, just a different kind of fun. So think about, what is it that you like to do? What makes you feel good? It could be swimming. Then find a way to do that. Like, open your mind. Think outside the box. Because if you try to do what someone else wants you to do or someone else says you need to do, the problem is, this is where the sustainability issue comes in. Because when that happens, we then don't do it because that's what resonated with that person. You will find, listen, nobody's reinventing the wheel, right? Maybe some. So Patricia Moreno, a friend of mine who created the workout that's called Intensati, which means intention of the mind, where you're moving your body and saying affirmations at the same time. It is so amazing and revolutionary. And when I'm in New York, I would do that all the time. I would do that even above Zumba, believe it or not, or maybe the same as Zumba, because it is such an inspirational workout. I leave there and I feel that my cup is filled up, not just that my body feels better. So in your little PDF, I'll put some links to things that I think you might like, that you might, if you like to dance, just start doing something. And of course, those things I'm talking about are for people who already have a workout practice going. Anything else, you need to start more slowly. And there are things that are great for your body and your mind, like Tai Chi, right? You're still moving your body. It's a moving meditation without a doubt. So really think about things you've ever done in the past when you were younger, when you were little. What did you love to do? What lit you up? What makes time go fast? And with the physical part of it, that makes it all easier. When we get to the food part of it or the meditating part of it or whatever else you want to change, you have to do that inventory that I talked about at the top. So you really see, what am I doing now around my food, my hydration, my sleep? What am I doing now? And get very honest with yourself about your habits. And that's where you start from. You start from where you are because it's the only place we can ever start from, and make small incremental changes to what's on your plate, to how you self-soothe, to how you move your body, and the consistency thereof. Be gentle with yourself, be kind to yourself, because starting anything new can be scary, but you have support. You know, get an accountability partner and get serious about it, but do that after you've done the contemplating piece. Really think about it. The last thing I'm going to say about this is I had my doctor, she's like a East-West doctor, years ago, And I went to her, and for about 10 years, I just had these 10 pounds I couldn't lose. Or I wanted to, but I couldn't. And every time I went for my annual physical, maybe it was, maybe not 10, maybe 8 years. Still, it was a long time. So for like many years in a row, I was going into her office for the physical, and I was like, she's like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. Still trying to lose that 10 pounds. And about 5 years ago, when I finally lost the weight, she said, can I say something? I was like, yeah. She's like, you've been talking about that 10 pounds for about 8 years. So what I want to say is, I think you look great. Your stats are very healthy. So either stop wanting to lose that 10 pounds and accept where you are right now, or do whatever you need to do to lose, like change the habits that you're not changing to lose it. But it was so funny because she's kind of a straight-laced person. And I like laughed so hard. I was like, wow, like if I am inspiring Karen Smith to kind of serve me up, I need to change something. Even Karen Smith is bored of my story about my 10 pounds. Anyway, I hope that you found this valuable. I hope that it adds value to this part of your life. Because once you can lock this down, and I promise you, you can, everything gets easier and easier and easier. Because you also will have all of this bandwidth in your brain that gets freed up when you're not constantly feeling guilty or bad about what you're eating, doing, or not doing, right? Yes, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it.